canine detection collaborative, a detection dog training trio with Stacey Barnett.
Hi.
Robin Grubel.
Hey there.
And Crystal Wing.
What's up?
With humor and a big dose of theory, our trio talks practical training advice and features interviews with top trainers and scientists.
It's Canine Detection Collaborative!
Welcome back to the Canine Detection Collaborative. This is Crystal Wing speaking to you now, and I'd like for you to say hello to Robin Grubel.
Hello!
Everyone just said hello to you, just so you know.
They did. I heard them. In their cars.
And Stacey Barnett, how are you today?
Greetings.
Oh, now you're going to throw people off.
I know, right?
I had to do that on perfect. I had that plan.
Oh,
I had a plan.
Gosh.
I did. I'm sitting here. I had like this like grin on my face. Like I'm going to say.
I wonder what that grin was. So look at us kind of building one topic to the next. So we talked about struggle and then we talked about coaching. And in that coaching, we talked about how to help your learner, your coachee improve and meet their potential and find their success. And so what a great topic to now go into and talk about success. What is that for us? What is that for our dogs? And this was inspired by a post from Stephanie. She sent us a message and said, here's a couple of brain teasing conversational questions.
Well, there's a little inside joke there.
We love those. But anyway.
So it was two questions. How would success be defined? And what course would follow that success? Once achieved, do we quit? My definition of success fuels my motivation to try harder, learn more, and refine my skill. I'm always learning and I can always do better. So I measure my success in small ways, which for me sometimes means understanding a new concept and finding an appropriate place to incorporate it. However, I don't transfer that to pressure on my dog. Okay, my wheels are really spinning. So are ours.
It was so funny.
It was
so funny. So Crystal says, hey, here's a great idea for a podcast. And so my response to her was, how is this controversial?
And I said, it's not. Do we have to talk about something controversial?
And I'm like, I'm just responding to the message. And she's and Crystal's like, sorry, I'm confused. The suggestion that I said, her note says maybe controversial. I'm not understanding. And Crystal's like, conversational. And I'm like, oh, I can't read. So that's why the emphasis on the syllable on the intro.
Yes. Conversational questions. So how would success be defined?
Conversational questions. I'm like, and I scrolled back up and I'm like, oh, it really does say conversational.
All right, friends. So how do you define success? How do you put the suck in success?
It depends. And so it's one of those weird things where defining success, if you look career-wise, defining success is something so significantly different than the fact that I didn't kill somebody today, which most days is actually an accomplishment.
Wait, you have a big cadaver freezer. Should I?
Sorry, I have a very large cadaver
dark humor.
Freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say that there are, yes, anyway. So I'll be honest, one of the ways that I define success at this particular moment in time is that I had an uneventful, drama-less day. I live on a farm. There's a lot of drama. I have a lot of dogs. There's a lot of drama.
We talked earlier. I don't think your day was very successful.
Today was not successful.
No. But that's why you have friends.
That it is why I have friends. And I have friends with lots of spoons who lend me spoons.
Yeah.
But when you start thinking about success in dog training, and I've often talked about sometimes, yes, it is the big things of all of a sudden you got asked to go be a speaker somewhere and it's all super exciting and blah, 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 blah. But some days it literally is the fact that all of a sudden your dog is doing the perfect contact heel and they're like, the switch clicked and they're like, I got it. And so the other thing that really, I started really internalizing this. I started putting this on the slides that I've been doing for my webinars, is that detection training is a process. Mm-hmm. Training is a process. And you have to learn to love the process, not mm-hmm. just the outcome. And so it becomes, for me, you know, I love my little progression plans and all sorts of things. So to keep me loving the process, and because I'm type A, I get to mark things done on my progression plan. That's success. So it's setting those little SMART goals, and it all kind of depends. And then, yeah, you have to move on because you've achieved a goal and now you have to have a new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It does depend. And if I look at, I always think back about when I think it depends when it comes to success. For me, it's just kind of like it's why versus my other girls. And how, when I take him into an elite trial, I tell everybody I have two goals. Number one, happy dog. Number two, keep points. Now, I just want to make this understandable. Keeping points at an elite trial means you score 43% at least of the points available. That's it. And he has always kept points. Sometimes he's kept it, he's had his highest score is 76, right? You know, sometimes he's barely squeaked through. One time he really, really barely squeaked through. But it's very different from, you know, Powder, who her very last elite trials before she, her very last two elite trials, she got 100. And then the one right after that, she found every single hide and we had one very understandable false. So ended up with a 96. And then the next weekend, she goes and got her first summit trial with a high-end trial. That's different. Or prize. I mean, she got a 100 recently, right? They're on the other end. For them, that is success, right? For why, being happy and keeping points is success. And I think we have to be careful. And this is why I don't like it when people compare dogs. And I'm just going to go on a rant here, if that's okay. Is that the whole comparison thing, I think, is just, there will only be upset feelings and trauma. And that is, you will only be disappointed. You can only get disappointed when you compare. And so for me, when I think about success and the words, it depends, it's about the fact that you really, it's not comparable. It's just not comparable. So when I think about success for my dogs, that's what I think about. Can we mention Crystal and her red light right now that's just like shining in her eyes? What the heck? Oh, she's got her headlamp on? You have your headlamp
Crystal
on?
Is still in her van because she's van camping.
She loves.
And I have to take notes and I can't see my paper to take notes. So
do you have your headlamp on?
Yes, she does. It's really cute because basically now she just looks like a big glowing light.
Yeah, she looks kind of like glowing. Oh, if you tilt it down, you can actually see the outline of her face.
I know.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's really kind of funny. Yeah, it is creepy.
We should do like a screenshot.
Back to comparison. You can screenshot. That's fine. Here, I'll try to get it down to the right angle for you. There you go.
Wait, how do I?
So comparison. I agree and disagree with you. So I agree because it can be very negative. It can be excessive. And we can feel inadequate, we can have envy, all those things. I totally agree. But I'm also feeling the other side of that that's been kind of helpful too, because it's giving me some insight, some motivation. And I think that's where it comes to a lot of self-awareness and kind of knowing what it takes to motivate you. Would you say that? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So a long, long time ago, because if you haven't listened to every episode, this is a long time ago, but there's the little triangles. And so the first triangle is when you're learning. And if you imagine it like a little equilateral triangle, and that's the person that's looking up to the next one at the next higher triangle. And so each one has the same base as the same height. Remember that one?
Yep.
And so the thing is you can't look up to the last one and just want to all of a sudden be there with that small foundational base that you have. And so with that small foundational base, you're not going to succeed. You're going to end up just falling and failing. So that's the comparison part that's not healthy. But if I don't know what's possible And that's where good coaching comes in, like we talked about in the last episode. Because I have compared and I've seen what's possible and I've seen coaching that can allow that, I do think that that's important for having that comparison factor, because it helps me grow. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know that was even... I remember my very first agility trial I went to watch and I thought, oh my gosh, are they doing this?
Right.
And so it's really fun to then be able to go out and do agility and like, oh wow, I'm doing some of the things that I didn't think I could ever do. And then that success makes me want to do even more and push even harder.
I do agree with that. I guess what I'm saying is that if you have kind of that understanding of what the dog can do, and you still compare dogs, right? It becomes a discussion about disappointment because the one dog doesn't level up to the other when they can't.
And then you have to compare them in different ways to find that what one is good at.
Yep.
And that's when you're doing it in a mindful, healthy way.
Right.
I totally
right.
hear you.
Yep.
And I'm just playing the other side of it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise you kind of would live with somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, so for instance, and I mentioned the search in the last episode that I did today, where Brava went out and got this converging odor, boom, boom, boom. Well, I had these two hides that were both about 5 feet high, same odor. They were both clove blowing into the pavilion. Y comes out, took him a little while to kind of figure this out. And all of a sudden he went from one and indicated right to the other and indicated. So here's a dog that I'm always like, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of talking him down and then he comes out with like a left hook. You know, it's just like, hey, I may be almost 13 years old and I may be like 15 and a half inches tall.
But hold my beer.
Did you just see what I did?
Yes. Hold my beer, you stupid person.
And of course he gets Boku cookies and I tell him how incredible he is. And I'm like, you just did that by yourself. And he's like, yep. And then we have a big party. So.
Well, and the whole don't compare dogs thing and success, because it when you're transferring from dog to dog to dog, and you have not replacements, you have successors.
I like that.
Right?
That's I like that phrasing.
Yes, because
it has success in the name too. Good job.
It does, which was so not on purpose, but. Because I have had to really internalize that as I started having new partners replace old partners to do the exact same job.
And especially if you lose one partner.
Very unexpected. Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Been there.
Yep. And it's really hard. And this is one of the reasons it's really funny. This is why I would do different breeds of dogs, because it always seemed to try and remind me that you're working this particular dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that Moses mm-hmm. was any better than Talon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they worked differently. They were both successful.
Yeah.
And it's just allowing the animal to search in the way that they want to search. And I've heard that a lot of people as people are transitioning partners, but my other dog did it this way. Yeah, but this is not your other dog.
I had a situation where Brava's very first summit, I had only ever done summit with Judd, and I had lost Judd prematurely to cancer. And it was very traumatic for me because I came back after teaching over in Europe for 4 weeks and came home and he got diagnosed. And Powder was a little tiny puppy at the time. And so I lost him, and it was, he got two summit titles with cancer. I didn't know it. And lost him. And so there was a lot of grief. And then when Brava got a little bit older and she went out for her first summit, I had so much wrapped up emotionally with him. I think if somebody had told me about that idea of not replacing, that she was a successor and not a replacement, I might have been able to cope better at that first summit. That is really brilliant. A brilliant thought there. I mean, it's basic, but it was brilliant. I just want to say that.
And just on that note, I actually tried certifying Moses not too long after Talon passed away. We're talking like a couple of weeks. Oh. And literally halfway into the test, I pulled the plug. I was like, I can't do this. My brain's not there. Moses wouldn't range. the whole nine yards. I was like, I'll pull the plug. We'll do it some other time.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Grief is real.
Yeah.
I found it interesting too, that I've grieved while my dog is alive. So I grieved the end of their working career.
Yep.
And then I grieved when he passed. And so those are all interesting things when it comes to having a canine that we work with so closely, whether it be in sport or in work, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I like the idea of successor because it's an idea of carrying on that legacy.
Yeah.
I think the legacy of what we have learned and what the animal has taught us and has helped us to become better for the next. But what's also weird to me though is, and I think it's because my Quinn was a unicorn, sometimes I'm like, I wish I knew less, because I think sometimes I was better in a lot of ways. But I also look at him.
Too stinking perfect, right?
Yeah. But then I look at it too, like I have injured dogs all the time, but I also think it's because I have a much better awareness and a much better eye now.
Yeah.
And so I do see the lameness. I see a short step, you know, and I am able to get those things diagnosed quicker. I mean, I can't help broken feet, but you know, things. So it's just, sometimes I'm like, ignorance was so blissful.
Yeah. It is and it isn't, because I think, you know, looking back,
I don't want my animal to be in pain. So
but it was like kind of like when I didn't do as well, but it was a simpler time, right?
That's
my first dog.
Yes, Stacy, there on the nose.
It was simpler.
It was a simpler time. I feel like.
But it was still a struggle, and you forget the struggle.
Oh no, that was two episodes ago.
Sorry.
How could we forget that?
Yeah, but it was a simpler time.
I look at Quinn's 99 on his protection of his level one. That would be like an 85 now. And everything just keeps, the bar keeps getting higher and keeps getting harder. And I think that's where so many people are becoming frustrated and reaching out for new ways. And it's created a lot of conversations in the different communities about what does it take to succeed now? And so that's why I think why that question of success becomes so important, because there's some things that I'm not willing to do if that's what it means to get on a podium, or if that's what it means to put my dog through something to get them. You know what I'm trying to say? Words are hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hard. They're hard.
I do absolutely know what you mean, because it's interesting to look at some of the competition stuff and think about how the bar keeps moving in the competition stuff. It's really slow to move in some of the working dog stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we are doing so much better and so many more things. And I constantly think, Crystal, about, you were always talking in some of the protection sports about how sharp are people's pencils.
Yeah.
And to mean, how critical are they being? And I think that's one of those things that, well, social media has done it. The world has become very small.
Yeah.
And so one, not only has the world become small that you get to see what the really high achieving competitors are doing,
mm-hmm.
but it also really, really makes people be like, well, I'm never going to be good enough. So how do you maintain the motivation to even get out on the field and try?
And I like how Stacy said too, you know, did you say not giving away points or not losing points? How did you say it? Or keeping all your points?
Oh, I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah. You have to keep points. So for wise success, happy dog, keep points.
So that's what I always try to do, is I'm always going out there thinking, we have 100 points right now, buddy. Let's go do this.
Yeah.
And I think it's just different ways of thinking about it. Because some people think about it, right now I have 0 points. And each thing I do, like this exercise is 10 points. I'm going to try to earn 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And this one's worth 15 points. I'm going to try to earn 15 out of 15. And it's such a little shift.
Yeah.
But I like going out there going, we have 100 points. Come on, buddy. Let's keep them.
Right.
Like right here. Let's go. And I don't know why that feels more motivational to me.
It does. And that's actually hugely applicable to Summit, because it's so easy to get in your own head and to think, oh, I only have 45 points this morning. I'm just making this, whatever. And I need to have, you know, more points, and, you know, more points means more hides, but maybe there aren't more hides to find. So if you put pressure on yourself to get more points, you're just going to be calling false alerts. I mean, I think back to Powder's very first summit search ever, where we had the 8 school buses and there was one hideout there. And it's like where she just, I'm like sitting there going, you're in odor this whole time, you know, because the odor was everywhere. And I'm like, are you just not settling on it? And finally, she just alerted in one spot and I got a yes. And then we didn't alert anywhere else. And it was walking away. I actually accidentally videoed my walk back to the car and my GoPro. And I went back and I listened to I was talking on the outside. I was actually talking to Powder, but I was like talking like, geez, Powder, I don't know. I don't know what's going on back there. You know what, Powder? I think there was only one hideout there. I think you killed it. And it was this transition in the space of like 3 minutes as I'm walking and talking to my dog on the way back of how it went from, we really are in trouble to, dang it, kiddo, you nailed it.
Is that a single person thing or is that do you do that, Robin?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I didn't know if that was because we spend so much time by ourselves and with our dogs.
Oh, no. I absolutely, the self-talk.
Because I do it too.
Yeah. No, the self-talk
that
goes
That's
on
I didn't have to.
in my brain, because I love
Joe.
No,
out loud.
Oh, out loud?
Yeah, no, we're out loud. This is all out loud.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely. No, you should hear me talk to myself while I'm like doing chores. The donkeys know a lot of shit.
They're not saying a thing.
No, nope, they're not saying a thing. They got really big ears. It all goes in and doesn't come out.
Oh my God.
So I think that we need to really understand that success with one dog is different than success with another dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole concept of sometimes you may still get where you need to go, but it's not the route that you wanted to get there. And I remember sometimes thinking about, oh, well, we have 100 points. Let's go out and claim our 100 points concept.
Uh-huh.
As sitting in a class in college, last ice age, and having a teacher say, everybody in here has an A.
What?
You cool. have to use it. Yeah. It's up to you to maintain the A or you can lose the A. And that was such a novel way that got me thinking about all sorts of stuff. And it's interesting and exciting to see, like, we have distraction camp and you have these people who have shown up with various challenges that they've gotten to go on with their dog. Mm-hmm. And literally you see them by the end of the week, they're doing searches that they never thought that they could, past 70 chickens in a chicken coop, and their dog goes in and nails odor.
Or, you know, we had the donkey barn, right? With all in the baked potato right there, the warm baked potato wrapped up in the I run a Labrador. That's like,
yeah. And so it's something that we have to remember that sometimes success isn't the big, huge, pretty ribbon. It's not, mm-hmm. it's the fact that you actually got up. I mean, mm-hmm. People may laugh, but I am probably going to end up doing junior hunters with my dogs because guess what? I've got dogs who can compete at a significantly higher level than that. Me stepping up and doing a junior hunter is nothing about the talent of my dog. It's all about the fact that I'm probably going to be puking behind the truck because I'm nervous. So you just need to do it.
Which is so, you know, when you think about it, it's so funny. It's like, but you've done like life and death stuff.
I can compare nervous about a hunt test. I know.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of.
Yeah. It's, I can compartmentalize the other stuff, but the hunt test stuff. Oh no. Cause I'm new.
Right. Exactly.
Haven't done it before.
That's normal, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's normal. It is normal.
I'm putting you on the spot. Are you ready? You ready, set,
who's
go.
Me?
Tell me something successful.
I was going to say, who's being put on the spot?
Tell me your last successful thing you've done with one of your dogs.
Oh, I'm going to say, well, the last successful thing I did with one of my dogs.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be really honest. the last successful thing that I did with my dogs is I made a distinct differentiation with Dash and had an aha moment that Dash wants a searching partner. He doesn't want somebody who is Uber. All the rest of my dogs are fine with Uber. Shut up, hold the leash, let me do my thing. Dash needs a partner. And so being able to run two different style searches with him back to back and see the difference in my dog is now going to totally change the dynamic of how we work together and how I train him. So for me, that's success. Oh, and Nico passing his FEMA certification in California because we went on a plane. That's success too. if you want to talk about two different levels of success, that was a everyday training success that is going to be transformational in my training. And the other one is just really amazing and awesome because he's cool.
Yeah. So I did have a very recent success. I went with my training partner the other day and we were training and it was this incredible training session. We weren't working searches where, you know, we were hiding in big, you know, lots of acres. We made it really, really basic. Just, you know, we use a big field or whatever. It was maybe, I don't know, like 8-10 acres or something like that. It was just a big field. And we were introducing new concepts and starting a concept of a moving subject. And my success with Prize was that I was able to fundamentally maintain and improve the quality of her refined behavior chain, full TFR, with improvement in the four little short setups that we did so that she increased her understanding of criteria that you must go all the way back to the subject and you must come all the way back to me every time. Not, hey, come this way. Okay, now I'll come back. No, you have to go all the way. So we were balancing the behavior chain with using the different reinforcers we had available to us. And to see her at the end of like these four repetitions go, oh, got it, was a huge success. So I'm going to put that in a big success column. From a competitive success, I'm not going to talk about summits or anything else. I'm going to talk about why getting he at the Fishkill Elite, he won an elite search. That it was this big, huge search. When I look at the search setup, that search was definitely set up like a summit. Huge, huge dining area. There were 8 hides. No dogs found more than 6. And he found 6 hides with the fastest time and actually won the search out of 30 dogs. There were 3 elevated hides in there. One hide, I don't think anybody found. The other 2 hides he found. The other 2 wow. elevated hides, including convergence in there. It was just, so that
cool, was. Wyatt the Tiger, he's awesome.
Wyatt the Tiger, yeah, so.
Okay. Crystal?
My success comes in being coachable. I feel like at this last seminar, I definitely have a brain that has thought about everything and every step from now until the end of the behavior and all the things that I've tried to do and have thought about trying to do. And so I think sometimes because of the way my brain grows, that when someone gives me a suggestion, my initial response can be a little bit uncoachable feeling or sounding. And because I had 2 people that I respect a whole bunch and I know that they know my brain, which makes it so much easier.
Yes.
I felt like I could really practice taking in, listening, trusting the process, and not thinking ahead, but just doing what they said. And so that was a big success for myself of something that I've been wanting to work on, and I was able to work on that. The success that I feel like I had with Radish, I am so, so blown away by her overcoming things that I thought would be a challenge for us forever. So one of those is the slick floors. She has really just, that's just not the issue it used to be. She is a little bit slower in the beginning, but there's nothing that's going to stop her from going through to do her job. And I'm proud of myself for how I handled that and how I built her confidence. So that was a success on my part of supporting her as a good teammate. And not only in one problem did we have that, but we also had like a crazy distraction we worked through. And we also had another part that's really hard is her going into dark crevice spaces. And she went in without my help and then out of sight from me. Christy helped her and didn't let her come out of the space on the other side to see me because she thinks that she needs to see me in order to tell me things sometimes. And she was confident enough to give her indication and it was just a huge party. So that problem was like everything all in one. So much so that I haven't done this in a long time, but I got teary-eyed afterward.
Yay.
Because it was her coaching, it was my dogs overcoming so much, and it was my good teamwork. And it just was this perfect, perfect moment. And to have those kind of tears of joy, it was just the corners of my eyes, like they weren't dripping, okay?
That's so awesome.
But that moment was really dear to me. I don't think I'll forget that one.
Can I add one thing of success I just kind of forgot?
Please.
I don't know why I have my own personal success. I passed my StarTech 2.
Yeah.
Woo! Huge. Good job.
Yeah.
So either way, you're thinking, I'm like, oh, what's that? I'm like, oh, dang it. I did do something kind of
kind of awesome.
Took a lot of work, a lot of dedication.
Yeah.
So,
and freezing your butt off.
Yeah. That was 20 degrees or something.
Well, and I think we forget sometimes to include, every single one of us did successes with our dogs.
Yeah. This had nothing to do with my dog.
Nothing to do with your dog. And, you know, success for me is, oh my gosh, I am managing I'm managing my daily life. You know what?
Yeah.
Sometimes that in and of itself, with as many balls that I have going on in the air, is success. And I think we forget to, I think I might have said this, and maybe it was earlier this episode or the last one. I didn't kill anybody today.
Yet. You know, it's still like, what's on your central?
Yeah. No, I'm going to bed after this. So, yeah.
Okay, so we're off the hook at that point.
Yes. But that's absolutely something to think about.
Yeah, because I literally, my mind went to my dogs. And I mean, this had nothing to do with my dogs. I mean, it was not a canine thing. So,
yeah.
I've been trying so hard, you know, with Alyssa reminding me that when I am done training, I thank my dogs. And I have absolutely had to add that for myself as well, to thank myself for getting out there and doing it. Because like the last 2 days, I haven't even trained for the BH that's in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I minimally trained during the search and rescue seminar. So, I mean, the last 5 days that we needed to really pull stuff together, I haven't. Yeah. And so success for me right now is just staying focused. I have so many irons in the fire. And so even after this, I need to go and we need to put in a few reps and just make everything so efficient as possible to possibly even be able to pass this thing. But passing it to me is not success. Like just getting out there with her and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
That
works.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now I will say, this is something that I've been kind of, I don't know, thinking about in a weird way. I have a friend that's very successful and has a presence on social media. And for her, you know, it's very different. She can't go out and just do whatever, you know, and if she is to fail, it would be a kind of a big deal. Like people would be like, oh, you know, aren't you supposed to be this big blah, blah, blah. And I don't want that pressure. I just don't feel like anybody deserves to be treated that way. I just feel like, and I get it. I'm not in some la la land, but I'm just happy that I'm still in a place that I don't have to worry about it. I can go out and just play with my dog, go on a field. If we don't pass, oh well.
There's a lot of pressure that comes on past success.
Yeah.
And people notice.
Yeah.
I don't feel it with why, although people are probably like, wow, that was a weird search. But if I come to the line with one of the girls, oh, I feel it. I really feel it.
Yeah.
Because people look, people watch.
And people give sides.
They judge and they're like, yeah. And they're like, ooh.
Yeah. They're, oh my gosh, you had a horrible day. You know what? Like, yeah. Ooh.
And then they're like silently rubbing their hands together, like, oh, you're like rejoicing in your.
And one of the, I would say, probably biggest letdowns personally is when you fail a certification.
No.
Because a lot rides on that for certification, being able to deploy all of these other things. And then, yes, you add to it the fact that, oh my gosh, you're an instructor. You're out in the public eye all of the time, you know, mm-hmm. saying that, oh my gosh, you know, yeah, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah, you know what? We still have our faults.
Mm-hmm.
We're not perfect. And it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I
so should I be worried like... about this BH? Should I not do this?
You know what? You should go out and you should have fun with Radish is what you should do.
That's just it. Like, I don't feel like, the oh, pressure. Crap. I like being on the underside of the radar, you know? It's like, eh, you know what? It's, I mean, her name is Radish.
Right.
Plus, you have to name them. I mean, I got really smart in this last one. Prize. Because she is my prize dog.
She can be rad-ish at the BH, but as long as she's rad at SAR, that's the deal.
Yeah, I love it.
And maybe it's just the success is kind of also based on our focus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I go out and I do agility, like with Brava and AKC, and we don't qualify, I'm like, whatever. I'm like, this is my hobby sport. I don't really care.
That's where I don't want to be flippant because that's where I got a little bit worried and trouble. And I'm not saying anything negative there, Stacey, just so you know. But think about it was like a couple of weeks before the
I tried, I didn't feel that same pressure. I didn't feel the external pressure of like, ooh, Stacey Miser contact. Like I didn't feel that because nobody cared.
Yeah. Right. And that's where I had to like watch myself because we got our PDC with PSA and I mean, we only did like the scenario twice and we barely passed. Okay. It wasn't pretty. We barely passed. Okay. But we passed and it's not a point thing really. It's, did you pass? Did you not? And after we passed, I had to catch myself because there are people that have tried over and over and over again. And that is their sport. That is their passion and what they train for. And I don't want to sound rude of saying, you know, oh, you know, we just came out for fun.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of, you just, I don't know how to say it delicately, you know, and think about other people and how they're feeling about it. And it's like, because I know like BH used to be like a really, really serious thing that I wanted to make sure that I was ready for a one or a two before I'd even get my BH. But because that's not my goals with her. And so that's where it makes it, I guess, different in my mind. But I also don't want to be belittling to others that are working so hard for it. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, it totally makes sense because I think about some of the stuff that I'm stepping into the, you know, hopefully someday we'll step into that hunt test world. Right. Maybe the field trial world, probably not these dogs, maybe two or three dogs from now.
The successors?
Yeah. And a whole bunch of successors. And, but you also bring a lot. I bring experience. Stacey, you're bringing a lot of experience into the search and rescue world that you're already coming with. Yes, it's new and different, but it's
very different application.
The fundamentals are there.
Yeah. Yeah. And
right.
You know, I've got a great phone a friend option over here.
Yeah.
Which is kind of awesome.
And Crystal, you did the same thing coming from the Mondia world and all sorts of things into the search and rescue world. And it's been fun and interesting as somebody who's been in this field of detection for a really, really long time to basically work with two people who are seeing the whole field with brand new eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think about things differently.
Good.
Which is fantastic. But you also have to realize that I'll take those 23 years of experience and I'll go over into the hunt test world and we'll flounder for a little bit and I'm sure I'm going to fail some tests and it's okay.
Yep.
Because I don't care. I'm out there having fun with my dog.
So success is the joy that we have with our dogs and the relationship that we're building.
I think that that is a beautiful definition of success.
Yeah.
Unless we're talking serious stuff, and then it's more than just that, but that's the foundation of it.
Yeah.
If you think about, I mean, the search and rescue is very, very serious, but we have to also understand, and I think that this is one of the things where I spent a lot of time thinking about what defines success for me in search and rescue. And, you know, initially it was, I want to find somebody. Let's be honest. I think it was 9 years before I found anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time to train for that level of reinforcement because we're animals, yep. Right? So we have to have some level of reinforcement. And when I started thinking about it like that, it became a much more interesting conversation with myself.
Thanks.
Yeah. About the fact of, well, why do I train to do this very stressful thing? And it became the fact that, well, I get to do cool stuff with my dogs. And then that led to the question of, well, is this the only cool thing that you can do with your dog? And the answer is no. I can do all sorts of cool stuff with my dog, which then significantly broadened my vision of what else can I do that is cool that I can do with my dogs that, wouldn't you know, is not search and rescue.
Hmm.
And so it allowed me, one of the things that it then allowed me to realize that that no longer had to be my identity. And
that's freeing. That's kind of freeing.
It actually is freeing. And that also kind of happened. I had that whole entire experience as well when I lost my corporate job, because we spend a lot of time getting involved in the whole fact that our, what we do for a living turns into our identity. And when you have that snatched away with from you in an hour-long phone call that you're no longer going to be that person anymore, it's sort of shocking. And I think about that with people who are losing their jobs or retiring and other things, that just that identity piece is huge, which also goes back to feeding into success and finding motivation.
Yeah, because if you don't have that place where you fit or know where you're going, you kind of don't know what your goals are. And if you don't have your goals, then what does success mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think some people are just super driven and they always just want to get better. And some people, like I have a couple of friends that are just love training, and it's not about success even for them.
Right. It's about training their dog to do cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wonder how they think about or would even consider success as part of their conversation.
Well, and some of their stuff may actually be more along the whole lines of success is getting their dogs to do this really complicated thing in X number of times or things like that. That's success to them. So I don't know how they define it. That'd be interesting to have that conversation with them. I don't know.
Takeaways. What do you think?
Takeaways.
I feel like we've been successful here.
I think my takeaway is that success is very personal. And how you define success really can't be based off of somebody else's vision of what success should be. And that it's got to be something like nobody can tell you what success is. Like you really literally have to kind of come to that conclusion on your own. And it's a very personal, inward looking process to try to figure out what that looks like.
Yes. And I think one of the things that I will say is your definition of success is probably very directly related to your why.
Mm. Yeah.
Why are you bringing why back into it?
Because why is awesome.
Why the tiger?
Yes.
Sorry.
That whole conversation around why are you doing what you're doing? And let's look past of what the contrite little answer is that you can quote to other people.
Yeah.
My takeaways, I like starting with that 100 points or whatever the max points is for that thing, because I feel successful in my mindset when I do that. I feel like we're going out there and we've already won. And that helps me. And it may not help others, but that helps me. And the other thing that I have to do is I have to focus on my success, because I am so predisposed to looking at all of the negatives. And that's either a cultural thing, it's a foundational thing, whatever it is, but it's always, you can do better, there's more, push harder, dig deeper. And those are all great concepts. But I have to be able to start off by saying, this is what we're doing well now, and build from that, or else I get too deep in the, this is what's wrong and why we have to push harder. So these are all things that I've had to kind of flip over on its head. So those are kind of my thoughts on success right now in this moment in my life. It's way different than what it was in my 20s.
It is.
So it's interesting how success has changed. And I also feel like I don't want as much pressure at this phase of my life.
Preach.
Whereas I really thrived a whole bunch on pressure in my 20s and 30s. I was like, bring it, let's go. And I felt like I had claws and I could just dig in and just dig harder and deeper and push and go faster and more furious. And now I'm like, you know, I don't want all that. I don't want to feel all that.
That's called frontal lobe development.
It is. And I think some of it is literally one of my goals actually coming off of knee surgery, and how I'm trying to define the success is spending more time doing what I enjoy doing and less time doing what I don't enjoy doing. There's still some certain aspects, you know, I still have to talk to my bookkeeper because that happens. I love my bookkeeper. She's amazing. But I hate accounting. I hate it. I still have to do it. But I'm also hiring somebody to do that. But I want to spend more time working my dogs. And so some of my responses to text messages now are, when I get a chance to sit down at my computer, I will do that. But right now I'm out training.
Yeah.
Boundaries. I think we did an episode on that.
I think we did.
Yeah.
We did. Amazing.
So we've done a lot of episodes.
We have done a lot of episodes. Awesome.
A few.
All right, ladies. Thank you as always for a awesome conversation. And thank you to Stephanie for sending us a thoughtful note that we then
conversational
not controversial
conversational
topic.
Oh boy.
If you guys have suggestions, yes, we do have a pin on the Facebook page where you can use a survey to submit your suggestions. So don't forget, you can still register for Distraction Camp. Those are coming up in July, so make sure you check those out. And as always, go train.
Canine Detection Collaborative!
We appreciate the time you spend with us. If you liked this episode, not only should you follow us so you don't miss the next one, but please also rate and review us in your favorite podcast app. For info on collaborating with us, go to caninedetectioncollaborative.com. That's K9detectioncollaborative.com, where you can find our socials and pick up our latest monthly freebie. Join us again to talk training in the next episode.